Okay, we're still working with the copies. Bezos Hashem, after Yontif, we'll get you, we'll pick up some real books. Okay, we'll go to, I think, Berman's Warehouse has it. They usually open Bainas Manon. All right, we're up to, in your copies, we're up to Eis Gimel. It should be on the second page, on the second side of the second page, of Maimer Shlishi. And here, in Eis Aleph, the Chaver had said that the idea, the concept of separating oneself from this world is not the avoid of a typical Jew in this Baylam Azeh. So in Beis, the Kuzari asked him, Kein saperli ma'isa ha-chassid shebechem ha-yayim. What are the midas of someone who would be called a chassid? In Gimel, the Chaver responds, as I said, it's a cryptic and poetic expression, which won't make sense until he explains himself. But Omar HaChavir, HaChassid who? Who is the Chassid? A person who is Hanizar B'Medinosai, who's careful in controlling his country, Mishayer U'Mechalek L'Chol Anshei HaTorafam, who gives all the citizens of his country, all the subjects, their fair share of what they need, B'Chol Sipukam, their food and everything else they need, V'Yinag Bahem B'Tzedek, and he treats all his subjects with tzedek, with righteousness. Lo yoyna echad mehem, he will cheat none of them. V'li'itin lo yoyse mechalkei haroi eloi, nor does he give anybody more than he deserves. So each subject in his country gets no less and no more than he deserves. V'yim tzoeim beis tzarchei aleihem shayimim loi. And because he treats them fairly, when he needs them, they treat him fairly. Mimarim la anoise beis karai, they're quick to respond to him when he calls. Yitzaveim veyasu kemitzvasai, he commands them, they do as he commands. Vizareim vizaharu. And when he warns them, they're careful. So he's saying, who's a chassid? Somebody who controls his country properly and allocates, whatever the resources are fairly to everyone.
There weren't too many chassidim.
In those days, certainly not. So. So that's what it is. This doesn't answer the question. This sounds like a ruler, not a thing. So Amar Akuzari, ala chassid she'altiach loy ala maishel. I didn't ask you how to be a king. You told me how to be a king. I'm asking you, what's a chassid? So he responds in hey by saying this is a mashal. And in the mashal, we're talking now about a person controlling himself. Controlling his subjects, meaning controlling all of his talents, his abilities, and the gifts which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. Amar HaChaver, HaChassid Hu Mishu Hu Maishel, Nishma is a ruler. Nishmar Bechusha V'Kaychosav HaNafshiyim V'HaGofiyim. His senses and his energies, physical and spiritual, U'Manhigam HaNhag HaGofiyis. And he runs them, he controls all of his senses and all of his abilities as a ruler. Somebody who can rule over his spirit is more praiseworthy than someone who captures a city. He's one who can rule. Because if somebody is naig and controls himself properly, he can rule over a country the way he rules over himself. Now here, the Kuzari presents what is a seven-part program of discipline. And the Chiddush in the next part of this ice is the Kuzari's Chiddush that being a chassid, which typically means doing things that are lefnei mishur hadin, is all dependent, everything comes down to discipline. And he goes step by step from what's simpler to what's a bigger Chiddush, to show that the midah of a chassid is someone who can discipline himself, his own energies, his own talents, and he controls them as is needed. I mean, he's going to go through seven steps. They're not numbered in the Sefer, but as you'll see, well, I'll try to delineate the seven as we go. The first two are what you would expect from any Musaf Sefer. The first two are v'chassam. Now the word chassam, with a samach, is the lashon loisachsaim shar b'disha, is to muzzle. Okay, so the first discipline step is v'chasam hakoyches hamisavim. He's able to muzzle his energies that have desires. Umana oisa min ariboy achar ashanas lehem chalkam. His muzzle was that the king gives each subject in his country what he needs, no more and no less. So he has koyches hamisavim. He has energies that desire. The desire to eat and drink, or to sleep. He gives them what they deserve, v'hispik lehem mashi amalei chesrainam, and gives them that which will fulfill their chesaren, mehamaychel hamaspik, v'hamishta hamaspik, al haderech hashava. He eats and drinks, now it's hard to define what is derech hashava, we'll talk about it, on the proper way, v'arechitza v'chol tzarche, al derech hashava, gamke, bathing, or any other pleasure. A person who doesn't bathe is wrong, and a person who, bathing was considered a pleasure. Today it's a normal chore, but somebody who does the pleasures in a normal way, so that's the first.
He says here in moderation.
What?
In moderation,
okay. V'chosam ha-koiches ha-kasaniyim. I said the first two are to be expected. The first is to muzzle his desires, and the second is to muzzle his Koiches hakasanim is koiches which cause him to develop kas hamavakish l'nsayach, the drive to win, to control others. Now, the desire to control or to win is good. For a person to try to succeed in figuring out a puzzle or figuring out a mystery, where it has to do with his intelligence, that's good. V'garas ha'anoshim ha'roim, or to push away, or to be angry at bad people. So those are the two. Now, this is something the Kuzari says in a number of places. The Kuzari defines, just the Mishnah defines all of a person's desires as three things, right? Akina taiva v'akavai. The Kuzari divides it into two. The desire to have pleasure, and the desire to control others. And he says, as opposed to in Eis Aleph, where there was a talk about avoiding all pleasure, an extreme position, he goes with the Rambam's approach of having a middle road. Now, the question which is debated is, what's the middle road in desire? What is the middle road in desire? A person likes to nash. How much is the moderation that we speak of. What is moderation? Is moderation to say, that's it, the steak is no good, no more steak? Now, Herbie, what do you think about that? That's a good thing, it's not a good thing. Huh? No more candy. And nobody should ever say no more brownie bars. That would be terrible. So we want people to... So the question is, what's called moderation? So there are different opinions. The approach of the Chayvus Halvava is that moderation means that you only eat what you need and not more. The approach to eat just for pleasure, for the sake of pleasure, Chaim Salvava says to avoid any eating for the sake of pleasure. Now, I would think that that's the Madrega he called the Chanoch and Eliyahu in the beginning, eating just exactly what you need. As the Rambam says, to eat a little less than satisfies you, or maybe a little more than a little less, but to eat in moderation, but to be in control. What?
The Rambam says it for health reasons.
The Rambam says it for health reasons, right. And the other thing is that the Rambam says the golden mean is only true for pleasure and for other means. It's not true for kas. The Rambam holds that kas and gaiva, there's no, this idea of giving what you need and in moderation, the Rambam holds it's not true. That doesn't apply to gaiva and kas.
If the Rambam just finished dinner and he's sitting here learning and sees a bowl of nuts... He ate supper, he likes nuts.
I like nuts.
No?
Here's which nuts. Well, why don't you try me out?
Why don't you try me out? It's a bowl of nuts. But so where's the moderation?
So where's the moderation? So it's a very good question. The moderation, according to Chayvus Halvavos, don't do anything unless you're convinced God wants you to do it. So then the question is, does God want me to eat the nuts? It's a very neurotic way of for us to eat. It would make us crazy. Right, so he held that that's a madrega of chanech and eliyahu, teach us for survival.
The other approach is in moderation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave pleasures of the world. So to have some, but in moderation, you don't have to, the Rambam says there are things Hashem wants, things Hashem doesn't want, things that are in middle. Could we say God is ambivalent about it? I don't know. I mean, every time you scratch your forehead, you have to decide if God wants you to scratch your forehead. So this approach says that there's moderation in things. That's the Rambam's approach. You expect the Rambam. The Rambam says there's Ratzon Hashem, there's Neged Ratzon Hashem, and then there's in middle. There are things that are neither Ratzon Hashem nor Keneged Ratzon Hashem. And that idea is, I think, the approach of moderation that we have. Now, when it comes to Kas, the Rambam says that's an exception. The Rambam calls Gaiva and Kas one, which is almost a lesson into itself. Because to tell people not to get angry, not to have Kas, well, we're all for that. All for it. Just sometimes you get angry because you can't control yourself. But if you understand the Rambam's approach that all anger is based on gaiva, is based on haughtiness. Basically, people get angry when things happen, usually done by other people, that they feel they shouldn't do. Now, the other person should listen to me because I know better. Rambam says that all gaiva and all kas is interrelated. They're related one with the other. And he disagrees with the idea of then having a mean, the Rambam says, to distance oneself totally. As I said, number one and two you'd expect. Let's look at number three. Nasan lachushim chelkam. And this chassid gives the chushim their chelik. Now here, he's talking about the senses that a person has to look, to eat, etc. Misham mash mimashmeish biyada viragla v'lishaynai binyan atzaruchu b'cheftzai hamayil. What he's saying now is the ability to touch things, the ability to speak, the ability to walk. These are all subjects in your kingdom. They're all things that Kadosh Baruch gave you to control. B'cheftzai hamayil, the things that are useful. V'chein hashama, the ability to listen. Hara'is, the ability to see. Something that's unclear. The Oitzer Nechmad says it means the imagination. The connection between the imagination and the chushim. Now, Reb Sos Salanter has his rule that the imagination is a free agent. You can control what you do, but the Reb Sos Salanter says that Adam chavshi b'dim yainai. You can't control your imagination. The person imagines things, you can squint your eyes and concentrate hard to try to squash it, but you can't control what you imagine. He's talking about hargosha mishtatefes eilecha sechreim. He talks about the imagination working b'shituf with the other things. I'll explain that. V'achakach hayetzer, the desires, haraya in the thought process, havachashev, the ability to compute things, hazikar in the memory, and a person's desire to use these things. Now these are all servants in your kingdom. They all work for what your brain tells them to do. Now it's interesting, there are studies that a person's desires control his memory as well. There are fascinating studies about how the way people remember things, we tend to think that our memory is accurate. We remember facts, things that took place, that there's accuracy in a person's memory. Studies show that when a person remembers things, when a person explains what he saw, his explanation overwrites his memory in his mind. If a person tells somebody that something happened, the tongue is loose. The tongue sometimes expresses oneself a little stronger, a little weaker than a person would be when he's totally accurate. There's an idea that the memory overwrites, that the tongue overwrites the memory. That zikaron is also controlled to a certain degree by memory. So sometimes a person has a childhood experience. The further back it goes, the more it can get or be overwritten. A person describes it favorably. Over time, his memory of that experience will take on a more favorable approach. They did a study, I wish I'd remember the details, of where people were, what they were doing when Kennedy was assassinated. They even took pictures. In those days, there weren't many photographs. It wasn't like today, you get 100 pictures of everything. They took the Kennedy photograph and embellished it either with things that make it look more pleasant or make it look more objectionable, and asked people to choose the picture that they saw at the time. And they found that the degree to which a person's experience either recoiled in horror or was less horrified by what took place influenced his memory of what took place. Which means to say that what he's saying, that the Kayach HaDimyon, he's saying all a person's talents are subjects in his kingdom, and he has to try to control them. The inclusion of imagination seems to contradict Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's idea that the imagination is free. You can't control your imagination. Yeah. That's what I mean. He calls imagination the hargosha mishtatefes, the shutif in the person's chushim. And it is that way. It's that way also when somebody eats something that he expects to taste good, he will lean towards tasting something good in it. Someone eats something he expects to taste bad, he will lean in that direction. They did studies with, again, I have to, you know, I'm only remembering, with electric shocks. They told people that they'd be subject, as part of an experiment, to a series of, let's say, 20 straight consecutive electric shocks, a minute apart. And they told other people that it would be arbitrary. And they found that the people who anticipated the shocks, they gave them 3 severe shocks and 17 mild. And how could they study what the person feels? They studied it by his heartbeat and respiration, however it is they study it. They found the expectation, if they were told that the 20 shocks would, there'd be 20 equal shocks, their expectations caused them to respond as if it's more painful. And when people are told that it's arbitrary, then they responded to the less painful ones in a less painful way. The point is that the imagination colors everything. Imagination colors everything we have. And to a certain degree, knowing that enables a person to maybe to have at least if his brain will control, a more realistic understanding of what takes place around him.
Did imagination play any role of anyone in Tanakh?
There are no psychological studies of what took place, so it's a very difficult thing to say exactly. But we know that when a person looks at someone non-favorably, that it creates a non-favorable outcome. One of the most famous studies are teachers who were told that certain students are above average, the talented students before the year. And it's very consistent that when one expects the student to do well, the student ends up doing well because the teacher somehow relates to him in that way. And when someone expects the student not to do well, they don't. I saved one of these studies. It's just fascinating how a person's actual performance is affected. Now, to what degree that happened in Tanakh, it's a little hard to... They teach to the expectations. Okay.
So they teach the ones that they think are smarter, they challenge them more than they teach on them.
That's why we're learning the Kuzari. We're expecting everyone to, it's not an easy book. But that's what he's saying. So here, we're still in the middle of his, so again, his first two ideas were moderation in taiva and kas, which we would expect. And now he's saying is that in all the use of the chushim, the expectations of what your chushim will do for you, your senses, there also needs to be a certain amount of control. A person should not, so to speak, favor one sense over another. If you use each of your senses correctly, and you give your koiches hanefesh what's expected, what they need in rest and in sleep, I've never seen the word except in the Kuzari that I remember. It means hayonim are the energy, the koiches ha misoirer. A person has certain energy in him that motivates him, that gets him going. A person has to know that you have energy that can motivate you, and a person has to look to awaken them. You have to give your motivational energy, mashiyaspik lehem, meyakitza, tenua, b'maisi, ailam. You have to get them moving. I spoke this evening to somebody who was in the yeshiva for many years in Kailul, and he's working now. And he talked to me about his siddurim. He says, at night he's just so tired. He's not used to this. He's an accountant, Nebuch. And he says, so tired. So I told him, tiredness responds to a person being motivated to do something new. If you get yourself into the Beis Medrash, into a svima where you're motivated for something, if you go to learn because God said you have to learn, it's very hard. But if you motivate yourself to know something, to do something, then the those are koyches hamisayurin. He calls hayoyniim these koyches that are able to motivate a person, like in Color War. Right? Remember Color War from camp? In Color War, people stayed up for 72 hours more or less. People were motivated by this prize called winning Color War, which is an absurdity. What does a person have from winning Color War? Nothing. But as much as you have from getting $1 billion, right? After the first million or two, there's nothing, no use for the rest of it. Just give me the rest. So anyway, that's what he's talking about, the motivational skills. Ozi kare el eidosai kemoshal anishma. He has to call to motivate himself like a king who calls his subjects. Shekari el chaylai. He calls his army. Ashamei ala azaloi. You need something. The king calls his army. Li dabek b'madrega shilamai l'mimena. To reach for higher and better things. Rosh le madrega l'kis. A godly level. Ashulamai l'mimadrega asichlias. More than he thinks he can do. V'yisadar eidosai v'yisakna. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he called Klal Yisrael around Har Sinai. He told people, you're till here, you're till there, right? He said, this kingdom go to a higher point, you go to that point. But each one had his place that he had to reach. And his desire should respond to that which is commanded to do. Hamarais, to respond without rebellion to the things he has to do. So you're the king, you have your army. Your army are the many talents and abilities that you have. And the idea is to be able to summon them. That is the third discipline. And the fourth, which is fascinating unto itself, Yitzava Isai, and we'll get to him Yitzhashem on Thursday night.